BBC Radio Gloucestershire
with Pete Wilson.
Now, you'll probably remember that very nearly 2 years ago, I made two programmes about the Gloucester engineering firm Fielding & Platt. Well, the original project to collect and protect the history of the company has come to an end, but the Fielding & Platt Legacy Group have carried on by exploring the company order books, making a company timeline, scanning photographs, interviewing colleagues who work there, and putting all the information onto a fantastic website, which is www.fieldingandplatthistory.org.uk. This is the first of two more programmes, and today I'm talking to Julie Courtney from the Gloucestershire Archives about the original project and the significance of the Legacy Group, to Jeff Hogg, who's got plenty of work thumbing through all the old order books, and to John Bancroft, who's made the timeline, amongst other things. In a couple of weeks, you'll hear from John Davis, Brian Mintz, and Alistair Adams, who all are putting in their contributions as well. And Julie Courtney is the collections team leader at the Archives. Julie, when I came before, it was a chap called Ollie Taylor who was looking after this. Yeah. He's gone, presumably.
Yes, Ollie was the project officer, because the project itself was funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund. So it launched in the spring of 2012, and Ollie had an 18-month post with us to do all the coordination and the organisation that was needed to make the project successful.
So when Ollie left, is this Legacy Group, is that a continuation from where you were then?
It is. What you don't want at the end of particularly a successful project, is it for it to all fizzle out and people think, oh, well, that was wonderful, but it was here and gone, nothing left. And there's such a core group of enthusiasts who'd got involved in the project as volunteers that they actually formed the Legacy Group. And we're really pleased at the Archives just to be able to host their activities and sort of give them a bit of extra hands sometimes when they need it. Doesn't happen very often. They're very self-motivated and they just get on with things. But it's great. So it means that all the benefits of the project are actually still happening.
So, Fielding & Platt, give me the background details then about the original project and perhaps one or two of the main achievements from that.
Well, we were planning it really because we thought it might be a way to catalogue the business archive that was preserved here at Gloucestershire Archives. It's a 200-odd boxes full of business records. And really, as archivists, what we were thinking about, oh, we need to get this material sorted and listed so it can be made available. And then we thought, well, actually, the way to make it much more lively was to gather the memories that people still had about Fielding & Platt. Because a business archive is interesting up to a certain point, but it's the people and the stories about the people that really make it come to life. And when we thought about it, we thought, well, really, this is an ideal Heritage Lottery-funded project because it is going to involve the community, it is going to involve a lot of volunteers. So the idea grew. So from just a concern about a business archive, it actually became a much more vibrant, interesting project. And we were bowled over by the enthusiasm of folk.
Well, I remember the programmes I did before. The interest in it was absolutely huge from people who'd actually worked there at the Atlas Works. They'd been there, they knew about it, they knew the people I'd been speaking to right the way through. So this Legacy Group is pretty significant, isn't it, then?
It is. We've run a couple of projects where we've been partners, the rugby project as well as Fielding & Platt, and both have got this core group of people who want to carry on and keep going. It is important because one of the things we wanted to make sure is that the memory of Fielding & Platt wasn't lost. And this is really ensured that that won't happen.
And this Legacy Group that's carried on must really complement the original work that was done by Ollie and the group at that time.
Yes, it does, because out of the project we wanted to encourage people to volunteer their memories, to allow their memories to be recorded and preserved and used on the project website. We wanted to encourage people to bring in other memorabilia like photographs and documents that they might have had. So that sort of thing, of course, can still continue because the volunteers are still here to manage that. So we've still got, as you'll hear as you speak to the chaps, we've still got the memory recording going on. We've still got work happening to the website all the time. We've got material that people are offering us. So it's just meant that it's not a flash in the pan. It's continuing.
Absolutely. And as the collections team leader, are you giving the Legacy Group advice and just making sure that what goes on and the overview of what goes on so they can do the right things?
Yeah, I mean, they know, really, because they've been with it from the start. So it's that ideal point where really we can back off and just give the basics. And, you know, the group sustains itself, really. So
give me just an overview, then, of what this whole Legacy Group is doing.
Yeah, well, we've got, represented by Jeff, we're continuing drawing out detail from the business archive because the records that we have got here are tucked away in the strong rooms. Not that many people can see them. But Jeff is working on some of the early order books and really bringing out the detail of what Fielding & Platt were busy with in the 1880s, 1890s, around the World War I period. So there's that level of detail that's been still drawn out of the business archive, and that's something that a volunteering activity that has to be done here at Gloucestershire Archives. And then we've got other members of the legacy group who are still going out and recording people's memories in people's homes. And then those digital master copies are going to be preserved here at the archives. But they form the raw material for the little digital stories that have been edited. So Alistair is, again, you're going to be speaking to him later. He's working on editing the digital stories to be put up on the website. And John Bancroft, who you're going to be speaking to, has been busy scanning and uploading thousands of photographs from the firm's archives onto the website. Again, making it accessible worldwide because, again, very few people make it really through the archives doors. But everybody and anyone can make it onto the project website. And all sorts of people come across items because you can see from the comments that they can put up, which is really, really nice. It's a very lively website, and that's been a real bonus, I think, because I didn't anticipate that there would be so much interest.
And of course, as we said, you know, this makes things accessible, and this must benefit the archives for you because you're getting this work done by volunteers. Someone's going to tell me a bit later on, I know, how much it would have cost in time if you had to pay volunteers, but it must be great for the archives itself.
It is. It's not even icing on the cake. I mean, it's a huge cake, baked completely, and all the responsibility and all the benefits are what the volunteers have put into it. So I think as an archivist, you're always aware that you're sitting on a bit of really fascinating history, and it gets frustrating when you realise that not that many people are going to know about it or access it or feel they want to.
I was going to say to you, that's the thing about being an archivist. You love to see it, you love to find it, you love to explore it, but you love to share it.
That's it. And I mean, really, there's so many ways now that we can share what we hold, and working with the project group, working with the team of volunteers like we have here, it's very rewarding. It makes you feel that actually it is very worthwhile.